If I could listen to that again. Amen. Amen. How soothing to the soul. Some good spirit-filled songs makes me want to, try to jump the pulpit. I started to say jump the pulpit, but I don't know that I could do that anymore. I'd give it a good attempt. Just get so, just full of the presence of the Lord and the goodness of God, and it just fills you with a power that sometimes translates into a physical energy. I mean, it does. You just have to do something, You can't just sit there. But then there's songs like that to where you just sit and it's just soothing to the soul. You just take it in and it's meat for the Spirit. And I'm thankful for it. Tonight we're going to take communion, the Lord willing. And I want to talk to you a little bit about approaching the table. And as I thought about that, Brother Dan and I had a conversation, probably a couple of months ago. I lose track of time. And we were talking about the Lord's table. And I began to think about some things after our conversation and how that sometimes if we're not careful, we will assume that when people have been in church for a given period of time that they know. They understand. But that's not always the case. And so I began to think about some things that Brother Dan said. I thought they were good points, and I began to think about that. And I thought, the next time that we partake of the Lord's table, I want to try to just really take that subject, that ordinance, and approach it in a way that I hope that everyone would understand what we're doing here. We're certainly partaking of the bread and the cup, the bread, of course, the body, the broken body, the cup, the shed blood. But we want to do it in such a way that is worshipful, that it's reverential. But we want to understand something too, and that is that, and I fear that many people, when they hear of the church, whether it be if you're a member of a church, or maybe you're out and you're visiting, and you hear, they're having the Lord's table on this Sunday night. We're out of town and we're visiting, and that's the night they're having the Lord's table. And it's almost like instead of it being an encouragement to go or to come, in this case, to your local church, some people say, I don't think I'm going to go because, and then there's these things that start going through people's minds of why maybe they shouldn't go to the Lord's Supper and partake of the Lord's table. And I think many times it's because of a misunderstanding of how to deal with sin in our life and how God expects us to deal with sin in our life. And so I want to talk to you, people who I believe love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you want to deal with sin in your life. So I just want to make some really elementary, basic statements to you from the Word of God that I hope will help you to have a proper mindset and have your heart conditioned so that when we partake of the table, we can do so worthily. So, now, preacher, I could never do it worthily. Well, sure you can. Because Jesus can make you worthy. He can make you righteous. So, I'm not righteous. Oh, if you're saved, you are. Christ's righteousness has been imparted and imputed to you and I who are saved. And so we are righteous in Christ Jesus. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're righteous in God's sight. Amen. And so by no means should you come here tonight and with pride and arrogance, he say, I deserve an opportunity. That's not what I'm talking about. But with a humble spirit, we should reverently bow our heads before the God of heaven and say, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his body that was broken for me and his blood that was shed for me. And though really in myself I'm not worthy, thank you for making me worthy by his broken body and his shed blood. And so I partake of this in honor of my Savior, in remembrance of what he did to make me righteous in my standing before you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. And we worship God in this ordinance of the church. It's not something we should shy away from. It's something that we should do often. For as oft as you do this, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, as Jesus spoke, you do this in remembrance of me, Christ said. So I want to talk to you about how to deal with sin in your life and not feel like, well, I can't partake of the Lord's table. I sinned this week. You did. I think the psalmist David here in Psalm 19 deals with a little bit. So I want to talk to you about that. I think people have a real misunderstanding about sin in the believer's life. And I hope this will be a help to you. If you'll listen, I know it will be, because I'm going to give you what the Bible says straight from the Word. God's Word is a great help to us. I want you to notice in Psalm 19, certainly David in verses 1 through 6, he begins by talking about how God speaks through his creation. And he does. I believe David was an outside kind of guy. I believe he was one of these kind of fellows, you know, that was just spent a lot of time, of course, tending sheep. We know he did that. I just believe he loved the outdoors, and he often looked in a wonder and amazement at God's creation. I believe some of you do. I hope all of you do to some extent. It's a wonderful thing to behold the creative hand of God and what God has done. Amen. I mean, it's all inspiring. To go out and just take a look at what God has made and what God has done. It truly does speak. Notice in verse number 3, it said, there is no speech nor language where their voice, what voice? The heavens and the earth, the creative work of God speaks around the world. It has words. Look at verse number 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words, you know, speaking. The creative hand of God is speaking. But you know, that's not enough. It's not. And so God gave us something else, far more powerful than his creative handiwork. He gave us his written word. And David said in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, David loved the word of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you love God's word? Now, this is just something, you know, you answer these things in your heart. I'm not trying to challenge you to be something you're not or to say something you don't mean. I just want you to really look inside of your own heart and ask yourself the simple question, do I feel like David? When David said, the law of the Lord is perfect, do I believe that? Do I feel that in my heart? Do I believe that, as he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure? When you're reading the Word of God, do you just know this is so? God said it, right? This is so. Why is David saying this? The statutes of the Lord, he said, it's right. It rejoices the heart. When you're reading these things and you just know that you know, this is so. God's going to do everything he said that he's going to do. It just rejoices my heart. I believe it does yours. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. I just believe that does something when a person's reading the Word of God and just knows how pure, unadulterated is the Word of God. This is, it's not, it has no admixture into it. It's God's Word. And so David is saying this, and you've got to get this, the way that he pinned this down. He's saying, I want you to know I love God and I love His creative hand and I love His Word. Now, why is that important? He said, because as I stay in God's Word, it's going to help me to understand my sin. Now, don't miss this. See, David didn't start out by asking a question like verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. David didn't start out that way. He started out by saying God is a mighty, powerful God. And his creative handiwork speaks all around the world. Then he said his word is just, it's so perfect and it's so sure and it's so pure and it's clean and it's true and it's right. He said, I love the word of God. You love God's word? And then he said this. In verse number 10, he said, more to be desired are they, meaning the word of God, the law, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments. He said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Can I just bring that to our language today? He said, when I'm reading God's word, I desire the truth of God's word more than being a millionaire, gold. Yea, even a billionaire, much fine gold. He said, listen, you couldn't buy me. Billions of dollars couldn't buy me away from what I get in this book right here. So that's where that's my goal. That's my aim. That's where I want to get. Amen? And yet, it's because of his love for the Word of God that David had an understanding. You wonder, why is David a man after God's own heart? Why did God go to this man and say, you're the one, you're the man? God saw this in David. God saw, this man loves me in such a way. He loves my word. He said, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. He said, listen, there's nothing that you could put on my palate, the palate of my appetite, of my desire, that is more sweeter than the word of Almighty God. Now listen, David really felt that way. So, well, preacher, I don't feel that way. Well, I believe a man could get there. David did. David did. And so don't ever just say, well, no, I could never be like David. Well, now, God's no respecter of persons. David got here. It's really what you're pursuing in life. You'll end up at the close of your pursuits, brethren, just like I will. And so I set the stage with that because I want you to understand this is where David's coming from before he starts dealing with his sin. See, if you don't love God's word, you're not going to take your sin serious. And let me just bring that home to me. If I do not love God's word, if I don't feel the way that David feels about God's word, sin, I'm just not going to take sin serious in my life. I'm just not. If I don't view God's word as perfect, sure, pure, clean, right. If I don't view God's word that way, I'm just not going to take my sin very serious. Not as serious as God takes it and as serious as I really should take it. And that's going to get me in some trouble. Because what that's going to do is it's going to open the door. Now listen to him. It's going to open the door for the old accuser. And it's going to give place to the devil. And it's going to go to work in my mind and my heart and my life. And he's gonna accuse me and make me feel guilty and shameful, unworthy. So that when someone mentions the Lord's table, I'm gonna say, well, I can't do that. I'm just not a fit to do that. But when you get in God's word, and when I get in God's word, and when we really get a handle on what God is saying in his book, we understand how God helps us to deal with our sin. And then we'll begin to deal with that sin. And when we begin to deal with sin in our lives, well, then when we hear the word, the Lord's table, we're eager to pull up to the table. And I believe that every born-again child of God ought to be eager to pull up to the table. Now, humble, yes, but eager. Eager. It's one of the most, listen, if not the most worshipful times that we come together as a body in Christ. And so let's see what David said here. You've read it. He said in verse number 11, moreover by them, and that's of course his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, the law, by them, he said, is thy servant warned? Aren't you glad that God doesn't tell us after the fact? You know, you're reading God's word and he'll say, hey, whoa, whoa, stay away from that. Amen. I'm glad that God gives us some warning in his word. Amen. God lays some truth out and says, now listen, you stay away. He said, the reason I love God's word so much is it warns me. God's word warns me too. God's word warns you too. I'm glad for God's warnings. But then notice this. I find just some great comfort of this. And in keeping of them is great reward. I want to go on record and say, amen, David. Amen, amen. Amen, brother. You're exactly right. Amen. Now, I have the word "in" underlined in my Bible because he didn't say by keeping them. Because what David is saying here, now, if he would have put by keeping them, I could still say amen. Amen. God blesses me when I keep his word. By me being obedient to God's word, by me keeping it, I'm blessed. But in keeping it, while I'm doing it, now listen to me, while I'm doing it, see, one day there's going to be a reward by my keeping it. But I don't have to wait until then to get the reward. Because in doing it, right now, my life is blessed. I'm living the best life when I keep God's laws. Now listen, when we keep the word of God, it's the best life you can live. The best life we can live is in doing, in keeping the word of God. See, there's a reward right now. Let me give you a couple of proof texts for that, okay? Turn over, if you would, to 1 Timothy. We'll come back here. I'm only going to turn to a couple. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I thought about this verse. Pastor David mentioned something about memorizing Scripture. And, you know, when you memorize Scripture, and I'm glad that I was taught early in my Christian experience, Sharon and I, we hadn't been saved, I don't know, a couple of months, and the church we attended had us in a Scripture memorization class. I thought, man, these people, they expect a lot out of folks. I mean, they gave us this little pack of cards with over 100 verses of Scripture in it to memorize. And I thought, these people, they expect a lot out of me. You know what? I think we've quit expecting things out of people, and so we've quit getting things out of people. See, there used to be a day when the church expected things out of its members. Amen. There used to be a day when we expected things out of our young people, out of our children. See, I believe that high expectations bring high participation and high achievement. The lower your expectation, the lower your goals and your achievement's going to be. There's nothing wrong with high expectation. Now, it rubbed me wrong at first because I had a rebellious spirit. You say, well, I thought you said you were saved. Took me a while for God to get that out of my life. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I'm glad that people kind of turned the heat up on me a little bit and said, you got those scriptures memorized? Amen. I thought, man, these people are slave drivers. But God knew what I needed. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, see, then you're not going to get the reward. In keeping them is great reward. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy here. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness. Now, how do you get godliness? Well, certainly it's imparted. But you become godlike by doing godlike things, which is in keeping God's word. Amen. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise, now watch this, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I do not have to wait to be rewarded at the judgment seat. I can be rewarded right here, which now is, in keeping, by keeping the judgment bar. In keeping, God's going to bless me while I'm doing his word. My life is going to be impacted by me doing what God said to do. So are you. Keep God's word. It's the best way to live your life, is to do what God said to do. Live the way God said to live. Let me give you one more, and then we'll go back to Psalm 19. So what's this have to do with our sin? Well, if we're doing what God said, brethren, it'll help us to abstain from sinful practices. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter 3:8. I want you to answer this question in your heart. Do you love life? You know, I talk to so many people today, and I mean, just about everything that comes out of their mouth is negative. It's almost like, woe is me. It's like, you know, I'm depressed. I feel down all the time. I'm unhappy. I've even had people tell me, I hate my life. My heart bleeds for people like that. I'm not ridiculing that. My heart bleeds for people like that. Peter said, I've got some good news for you. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, he said, for he that will love life and see good days, your ears ought to perk up. Amen. Your ears ought to perk up. You say, well, I don't want to love life and see good days. You're twisted. Only someone who's perverted would not want to love life and see good days. Amen. See, some of it is the devil has gotten a stronghold in people's lives to where he's saying, don't listen, don't do that. You can be happy without that. You can see good days without that. How's that working out for some of you? Amen. How's that working out? Do you know some folks that say, you know what? I'm not going to come to church. I'm not going to live like the Bible said. I'm not going to keep God's word. I'm not going to follow God's commandments. But now I just feel terrible all the time. I'm sad all the time. I don't love my life. I hate my life. I hate my predicament in life. Well, here Peter said, listen, do you want to love life and see good days? Then essentially he said, then refrain your tongue from evil and your lips that speak guile. And then he goes down, and when you read this, it basically just says, do what God said do. And don't do what God said don't do. Amen. You say, well, as we go back to Psalm 19, well, preacher, I do love the Lord. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I want to serve God with my life. And yet, there's some things that I think, there's some things that come to my mind, there's some things that maybe I would even say or do, and it just, it baffles me. I look in the mirror and I say, who is that man? Oh, well, not me, preacher. Yes, you. Oh, yeah. Look what David said. Psalm 19, he said in verse number 11, he said, you know, I want to keep the word of God. I love it. I believe it. I want to obey it. He said, but there's something broken in me. And David said, I'm having a hard time with it. Look at verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? What a question. David said, I just don't understand it. I can't fathom the thoughts that I have sometimes. I can't fathom what I can become, what I might think or say or do. David said, I just don't understand it. It's beyond me. You ever feel that way? You don't have to answer that question. I'm glad that some of you did. Everybody feels that way. Paul wrote over in, and I'm not going to turn there, Romans chapter 7, he said, the things that I would do, I don't. And that I would do, he said, I don't. That I don't want to do, I do. He eventually said, oh, wretched man that I am. I don't understand myself. I want to serve God, and yet I find myself serving this old sinful flesh. Paul's saying, I hate myself sometimes. I frustrate myself. The old flesh just sneaks up on me and sometimes just gets me in a way that I just don't understand. How about you? See, for a person who didn't know any better, they'd say, well, I must not be saved. Right? Right? Well, there's no way that a saved person, a child of God, would have that thought. Right? Come on, folks. So I don't want to incriminate myself, preacher. This is on tape. Well, you know, listen. We've got to get real. I had a man stand up here at the front of the church today, and he just as sincere as he could, he said, I am so thankful that, and I'm not saying this because he said it to me, but he said, I'm so thankful that as my pastor, he said, you don't try to put yourself way up here. He said, you know, I don't feel like I have to be a super Christian. I said, brother, there's no such thing as a super Christian. That's not even in the Bible. Be a spirit-filled Christian. Be a God-fearing Christian. A super Christian, that's myth. That's myth. Don't try to paint something you're not. David said, I'm baffled. I'm frustrated at myself sometimes. Who can understand? Look at it, verse number 12. This is the sin that David said, I need cleansing from this. He said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, it's that secret fault. He said, sometimes I don't even realize it. You ever been around people and they're doing things and just thinking, are they not seeing this? See, sometimes we can't see our own sin. I want you to look at verse 12. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. They're secret to him. David's saying, God, until I get to the place that you reveal it to me and that you convict me and that you point it out, cleanse me of it. I don't want to lose that intimacy of our walk, that intimacy. I love you. I love your word. And when I get in your word, I don't want that sin that is unseen to me and unknown to me. I don't want that to interfere with what I'm going to get from your word. I don't want it to come between us, Lord. And yet it can happen to all of us. And at some point it will. It could be because we're ignorant. And we haven't been taught. And we need to mature and we need to find out. There's things that now that I know is sin. But I got to tell you, it, not too awful long ago, I didn't realize it. And God had to reveal it to me. That's sin. Right? Some of the things we become comfortable with and we grew up with and we thought, well, this is okay. You know, and then God says, no, it's not okay. And then if we're not careful, we'll begin to fight against it, right? Instead of saying, God, cleanse me of it, we'll begin to fight against it and say, now, wait a minute. That's not sin, and we try to justify it. This is what David is talking about. He's saying, God, there's just some things that I'm not aware of that's in my life. Other people may see it, but God, I don't see it. Point it out to me. Show it to me. We can be blind of our own sin. Isn't it amazing how I can see your sin, but I can't see mine? You can see my sin, but you can't see yours. Right? Now, come on, brethren, right? Now, I don't want to say that, preacher. Make me sound like a hypocrite. Well, there's a little hypocrite in all of us. We have to ask God, God, help me not be that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to set myself up as being something I'm really not. I don't want to try to put on the air that I'm better than other people. That I'm up here and they're down here and I don't want to talk down to them. I don't understand that the ground at the foot of the cross is level and that we all have needs and we all have sin in our life and we need God to help us and we need God to reveal sin and God to show us the error of our way. And even there's times in our lives when we see it, we say, God, what's going on in my life? I don't understand why I would have that thought or why I would have that feeling that I have. I had a man stand up here again this morning. He told me, he said, there was a time in my life when hatred was so thick in my life, he said, that it just consumed me. Oh, and now, preacher, I would never do that. Well, you don't know what you'd never do. You don't know what brought that man to that place in his life. Amen. And so there's this secret sin, secret fault. There's this error. And what's David say do with it? Notice carefully. Cleanse it. Cleanse it. But now notice the next statement. In verse 13, it's a totally different way. See, these are things that David was unaware of. And he said, God, I've got sin in my life. Every now and then it just pops up, and Now, the old ugly flesh, this old man, this old Adamic nature, just when I think that I've got things going on, the old Adamic nature shows up again. Amen? Amen? Just when I think, you know, I've got things going in the right direction and I'm walking with God, the old Adamic nature shows up again. And that fight comes on again, and I'm fighting, and there's a warfare going on in my soul. And that's what David's saying. So tonight, when we pull up to the table, don't you dare think, well, you know what, I'm not worthy. Really, in reality, in one sense, none of us are worthy. But we've been made worthy by the blood of Jesus who cleanseth us from all of our sin. That's what the table's about. And so he said, there's this secret, see, there's this secret sin that I don't know. God, there's these errors in my life. I don't understand. They frustrate me. They bring me down, and I need you to cleanse me from them. Reveal them to me. Point them out. Show me. Now, when God does, don't try to fight against it, okay? There's a tendency to do that. Someone will point out something and you really love it. Okay? It's something you really enjoy. And someone points it out and says, you know, God's word says, and if you're not careful now, you, because of the way you feel about it, you'll try to justify it. And I'll do the same. But now when God points it out, we've got to get that matter straight. It's the only way we'll have peace with God, brethren. Then look in verse 13. Totally different approach. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now, this is not eros. These are not secret faults. You know what presumptuous is. It's just presuming that I know better. It's just going, listen, it's going headlong and doing something God directly said not to do. I'm going to do it anyway. I know God said not do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's nothing secret about this. There's nothing hidden about this, right? Presumptuous sins. And so, as we pull to the table tonight, David said, here's the way I want you to learn how to deal with your sin. It's the way that God has taught me as I've been in His Word and I've loved His law and I've been made wise by the testimony of the Lord, and I've rejoiced in His statutes, and my eyes have been enlightened with His commandments. There's a reason that David wrote these things. He said, it's helped me to deal with sin in my life. It's helped me to understand that there's just some things that God is still working on me, and He's pointing out, and I just haven't come to the place yet to where I realize it, but when God brings it to my mind, when God brings these errors, though I may not understand it and it frustrates me, I'm going to ask God, God, cleanse me from it. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to do that. And God, I pray you to cleanse me of the secret things. Bring them to light. Bring them to light. But then he said, he never asked for cleansing in verse 13. Look at it. He never asked for pardon. But there is something he did ask for. He asked for power. Keep back. God, I need your power. There are some things that are trying to get dominion over me. Look at what he said now. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. That sin or those sins, usually it's the sin, that besetting sin that we just keep going back to. Yours may not be mine, mine might be yours, and this one may not be that one, but there's that one thing, there are a couple of things that we just keep going back to, that presumptuous sin. And it just keeps popping up and popping up. And David knew about it, and he addressed it. And he didn't say, God, cleanse me of it. He said, God, give me power to overcome it. I don't ever want to do it again. It's leading me to that place of the great transgression. It's leading me to that place to where I'm going to really mess my life up. It's going to take me out of complete fellowship with you. And David said, I want it gone. And I want to tell you tonight, brethren, listen to me now. Don't you ever let anyone, whether it be this preacher or any other preacher or any other person, tell you that God cannot give you absolute victory over any sin in your life. I'm about up to here with people saying that, well, you know, I just can't help it, and I prayed, and the preacher preached, and I've read, and they almost render God powerless. Well, I want to tell you that God's got a power much greater than our sin. There's no sin in our lives that God cannot give us the power to overcome. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Don't you dare hold on to that presumptuous sin and say, well, preacher, I just can't do it. No, you just won't do it. Through the power of Christ, you can do it. Amen. And I'm not saying that out of anger. I'm saying it out of passion. Don't you let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't you yield your members as unrighteousness and sin. Through the power of Christ, be an overcomer in Christ. And here David said, I'm going to be an overcomer. But now, God, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to need your power. Amen. Amen. And he said in verse number 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. God, I don't want to be that person who just keeps falling off the wagon, hopping back on and falling off the wagon, hopping back on and falling off the wagon, hopping back on and falling off the wagon. Well, old Bob's been falling off the wagon again. Well, old Bob's been falling off the wagon again. You say, well, now, preacher, aren't we all sinners? Sure we are. But he's saying here that presumptuous sin that you just keep going back to and going back. It's like the Achilles heel. And the devil just keeps, listen, he just keeps rapping and rapping and tapping and poking at the same old thing. You need to get on your face, and I need to get on my face before the God of heaven and say, God, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Amen. I want somebody in here to get fired up and say, I'm not going to be the devil's little, listen, the devil's little pooch anymore. Fetch. Go get your sin, boy, and come back and serve me. Here, go get your sin, boy, and come back and serve me. Go away from God again. You don't have to do that. Amen. You don't have to do that. Amen. God has given us His Spirit, and He's given us His Word, and we do not have to yield to the presumptuous sin. But now we're going to need God's power. So in verse number 12, as we bring this to a close, he's saying, God, I need your pardon. I need your pardon. Cleanse me. You see it? See, this is the way you deal with these sins. Cleanse me. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need power in this area too, but David's saying, listen, he said, first and foremost, you need to understand some things. There's a pardon that's needed. In this area, it's not as much about power as it is pardon. In the other, it's not as much about pardon as it is power. You get the power, you won't need the pardon. Because you won't commit the act. That's why he said, keep back thy servant also for presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. I pray God to help somebody with this tonight. He said, and then, shall I be upright? I'll pull up to the table with my hands and my heart clean. And I'll be able to worship you the way that I desire to worship you. And then he said, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Not because I'm something. God, you did it. Do you notice where the emphasis is? You cleanse me in verse number 12. You cleanse me. Cleanse thou me. You cleanse me. You, the understood subject, you keep back thy servant. The emphasis is on God doing the cleansing. God giving the power. You see that? And therefore, God gets all the glory. I want you to take your Bible now and turn to 1 Corinthians, and we'll ask the men to come. So, preacher, what are we to take from that?